from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Mark Caboli, formerly of The Athletic, now works for Pat McAfee and does a lot of stuff with us. He's gingerly walking up the stairs right now after fighting through traffic. Callis, if you would, please go let in our esteemed colleague and friend, Mark Caboli. I can see him through the glass right now. Before we talk to Mark about all things Steelers, saw there was an emu running around in McKeesport, and I guess Cale Berger was talking about the emu on their show on Y108. And the woman who purportedly owns the emu called. They're supposed to be mean. And she called up to say, not so mean, they'll hug you. I'm just telling you right now, this woman's going to get eaten alive by her emu. I'm just telling you. In the wild, they can be quite mean. Just because they live in your house doesn't mean they forget their instincts to be quite mean. These emus, they're like velociraptors, these things. They'll get you. They're big. You can't just own emus, and you can't just have them running around McKeesport, for God's sakes. But this woman argues the opposite. I think she's a little biased. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You want to call up and chat with Mark Caboli, you can at 412-928-9370. Caboli, good morning to you, buddy. How you doing?
It's like as the traffic turns, right? Every week now, huh?
Is that because you live where you live now and you're just getting used to it, or?
No, it's just miserable. Traffic is just stupid. There's no reason for traffic. It gets backed up because there's a red light turning into nowhere. People, you're going to get me fired up again. I mean.
Yeah, you sound real fired up right now. I mean.
Literally you stop at a red light.
Were you yelling at people today?
Oh, absolutely. Especially somebody cut me off.
Oh, curse words flying.
Forget that.
Did you hear about that story of the emu going around in McKeesport?
You know, I worked in McKeesport for about 15 years and lived near there for a long time, and that's the least of my...
It's the people that are the bigger issue.
I'm not surprised an emu. What did an emu do in McKeesport?
Some woman owned like 5-6 emus, and...
Somebody ate one?
No, one escaped it. It's just running around.
Huh. That's nothing.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Eger Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mark, I saw you wrote about Cam Hayward. Would you be more surprised if he got the contract or didn't get the contract now at this point?
Well, yeah, at this point, probably more surprised if he will.
Man.
That's to me. I always thought it was going to get done. I guess there's still a chance here. You're so good. What, 5 or 6 days before that's done? But it just, I mean, just reading the body language, reading the room, so to speak, it doesn't seem like he's too convinced that he's even in the works. Really, I mean, honestly, I mean, Freiermuth here is probably going to get done here within the next 2 to 3 days. So that's probably number one priority. It's not that. I mean, it's strange because he's in that weird zone of being a 35-year-old coming off injury at a position is not conducive for 35-year-old men. However, he's very talented, a guy who's very plugged into the organization, means so much to the organization. I mean, I wish we knew exactly, Adam, what the demands were one side or the other, so we could probably figure out whose issue it is. But
yeah, I mean, if there's a possibility he could be asking for way too much money for a 35-year-old. There's no doubt about that.
Or multiple guaranteed years. Or the Steelers might just say, you know, hey, here's low-level money right now, and we'll revisit it after next year. And if you're a guy who's 35, you don't really want to take that chance if you want to play two or three more years, because what happens if you do stink? You want to get as much guaranteed money.
Right, no doubt. Right, and that's why the Steelers probably don't want to do that. Do you think if this is his lame duck season, if he does not sign an extension, do you think at the end of the year, if he plays well, that he'd want to go someplace else then? Do you feel like the waters would be too tainted for him, that he'd feel disrespected and not want to finish out his career here?
No, I honestly think the Steelers might be trying to take advantage of his loyalty to a degree. You know, saying, we know you're not going anywhere, Cam.
He didn't even hold out.
Yeah.
He didn't even hold in.
Well, he did one of the very, very low-key hold-ins, so to speak, because he didn't really participate. They masked that under, you know, we're just saving him for the regular season. That's not like it was planned that he was going to sit out, but he didn't do a whole heck of a lot.
I think that might have been the same, regardless of whether or not he had a contract. Yeah. Just because he's coming off injury, behind him, I think you've got some decent depth, but you've got nothing legitimate behind him.
Yeah.
I happen to think, Mark, that now that the Aiyuk deal didn't happen, if there were a guy that you could break precedent for, it would be Cam Hayward. Like, if there were a guy that you could negotiate with in season, this would be the guy to do. I don't think they will.
No, I don't. I mean,
but there's a lot of stuff they've done these last few years that I didn't think the Steelers would ever do, like fire an offensive coordinator midway through a season and get rid of a quarterback they drafted in the first round just 2 years ago.
See, that's not them being difficult of not negotiating in season. There's a reason behind that, and it's really, you know, there's some deep roots to it back to then the early 90s and free agency that Dan Rooney pretty much said, we're not doing this anymore, because it really created issues within the locker room that I think it was 93 maybe, and there was a couple guys, I think Adrian Cooper might have been one of them, you remember that name. So saying that and where it came from, I don't see that ever changing. I mean, they did manipulate a contract 1 year where they did it with more than one season out with Antonio Brown. What did they do? They added money to him, then cut off the backside.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about.
They were able to manipulate him getting a raise without giving him a new contract. But as of negotiating in season, I just do not see that ever happening.
You don't want to set the precedent, but I don't think it would be a distraction for that guy, because I think he's all business. I think he'd play his heart out for the organization, but also for himself. And I think his teammates wouldn't have any problem with him getting money in season. I know they're not going to do it, but I do think if you were going to do it for a guy, you could do it for the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
You don't want to set the precedent either. I know he's in a different level.
Right.
But you don't want the guy 5 years from now to say, well, you did it to Cam Hayward, you know, why aren't you doing it for me type of situation. So I think, once again, you're talking about Ambassador Rooney, what, 20, 30, 35 years ago, whenever it was, said, this is how it's going to be. It's just not going to change.
Do you think that's good business? So they used to not want to hand out a ton of guaranteed money either.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. It's something that everybody in that locker room knows. So they're not even going to approach that. They know we have to get it done. You know, if you're not going to get it done for Troy, if you're not going to get it done for other guys, you're not going to get it done for anybody at that point. It's fine. I mean, there's other guys that I thought of might have been a guy that you could have thought of doing, but now you look back on it, I don't even know. It might have been Bud Dupree. And imagine if they would have changed their philosophy for him, then you're looking back saying, what in the world?
Yeah, you can't do that. I wouldn't have done it for Minka. I would have considered doing it for TJ Watt if that thing went on, but they always knew they were going to get something done. And it seems like it's going to get done with Freiermuth. I mean, you feel pretty confident in that.
I was talking to him yesterday, and I said, you know, you got to wear a shirt and tie to this press conference. He said, I'm not wearing anything to it. You know, I'm just going to wear. Well, I was, you know, you're trying to get information without getting information, but it's just a matter of when they're going to announce it. I still believe that it's maybe a couple extra, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's here, but everybody's under the impression this will be done before the season.
I understand where the Steelers would be coming from to not pay Cam Hayward, who's 35. I understand why the Steelers would pay Pat Freiermuth now.
He's not going to cost a lot,
and at the end of the year, he might, because I do think he's going to have a really good season for the Steelers this year.
He's going to have a good season.
That's exactly it. Necessity is the mother of invention, baby, and we know that Arthur Smith likes to use tight ends anyhow. I mean, you look at the two guys last year, you combine their numbers, big-time tight end numbers, and Pat Freiermuth 2 years ago, people forget this, man, because he was hurt last year and the offense was just so bad. Freiermuth was sixth in the league in receptions for a tight end, sixth in the league for yards for a tight end. And the year before that, when he had a legitimate quarterback, he had 7 touchdowns. I think the best is still yet to come for Freiermuth.
You're just afraid of him right now, aren't you?
He absolutely dragged me on Twitter. He texted me before the game, and we made a bet. And I don't know what I'm going to have to do. But if West Virginia would have won, he was going to have to take my wife and I to dinner. And I said, if Penn State wins, do I get the points? He said, no, wouldn't it help me anyhow? I said, name your price. So we got to figure that out.
You see this, Harry, dropping some names here. You texted me, going to take me out to dinner.
I tried to link up with Freiermuth before the game. He was going to come to my tailgate, but then I had no service. He probably thinks I stood him up.
I never knew you two were that tight.
We just became tight this weekend. He listens to the show.
I know. Didn't that last year he mispronounced your name?
He called me Scrawly.
Yeah.
Which I think he does on purpose. But he listens to the show. I think it's a tight end thing. I think he really likes Doran and tolerates me.
Well, of course he likes Doran.
By the way, did you know there was a war fought against emus in Australia in 1932?
You better be careful, because last time we talked, it was on these airwaves about things that happened overseas. It was Vinny and Cook talking about like Iran and stuff. So you better be careful.
Well, I'm not going quite there. It's just Australia. They had a nuisance wildlife management military operation.
I don't even know what an emu is, to be honest with you.
It's like an ostrich kind of deal.
Really? I thought it was like a llama type of thing. No?
No. Well, no, they're birds, man.
Not too many emus where I
Well, you didn't grow up in McKeesport, did you?
I didn't grow up in McKeesport, but
Following World War I, large numbers of discharged veterans who served in the war were given land by the Australian government, but there were too many doggone emus, so they had to go and they had to kill the emus.
They eat them?
I would hope so.
Are they like monster birds, like ostrich size?
They're huge, dude.
So you can like eat the eggs? And
like one running around in McKeesport would stick people's ears up, yeah.
I am Googling emu because I have no idea what they look like.
Yeah, they had a big war over that in Australia.
Oh, it's a flightless bird, though.
So. I have a Najee Harris question for you when we come back. And Albert Breer reported something that interested me over the weekend. He's doing Monday morning quarterback now, filling in for Peter King, taking Peter King's job. Big promotion for Albert Breer. Something he wrote about the Steelers I want to run by Mark. He's going to be with us until 10 o'clock today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey. No Doran today. Hope to have him back tomorrow. A little under the weather. Mark Kabolian with us until 10 o'clock.
You know, I feel like right now, Adam, I got to start bringing the energy. I'm a little low key so far today. Maybe it was that traffic.
You generally aren't the most energetic guy.
I got to get rolling a little bit.
You're a passionate man, but I would never say you're energetic.
I got to get rolling a little bit here, man.
I didn't know you were a glasses guy either.
I can't. You know, I can't.
I have never seen you wear glasses before. Are you a contacts guy?
No, I just do this because I'm an old guy that can't read the computer.
Are those cheaters?
No, these are actually legit ones, but they're only for reading. I don't need them to drive, not that I think of, not that I know of. But they're getting worse, man. You go to the eye doctor, and I'm like, dude, I can't read. What's the problem? He goes, you're getting old.
That's what happens. Okay. Your eyes deteriorate. You know, no big deal. They got glasses for that. They got contacts for that. They got laser eye surgery for that. I'll tell you what's happened to me, though. At night, if it's raining, I can't see jack anything.
Yeah.
With the reflections and all that.
I think it's everybody, right?
Maybe. I don't remember ever being like that, but now I'm scared when I drive at night and it's raining.
Well, this morning.
Like on the highway, I'm going 50 miles an hour.
You
throw the blinkers on, dude. It's nuts.
You 8-2?
10-12, right?
Whatever.
Or 10-2 is what it is.
10-2, 12, yeah. And whatever. I'm a 1 or 2 finger guy, 1 hand guy, definitely. I could see you like up really close to the steering wheel, just like looking.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. Normally, I go kind of quick, but ever since I had kids, I'm really, really, really careful.
Oh, yeah, you know what?
Changed everything for me.
Boy.
I don't even want to get into Ubers with people because I don't know that I can trust their driving, even if they've got good reviews.
I think we need to review that just last paragraph you said.
What? Oh, my goodness. What? Was there a phrasing thing I missed?
Oh, man, I can't really say it.
Charlie's a tornado watch guy now, too.
I'm a big weather guy. There's that commercial out right now that makes fun of old people for being...
Yeah, you sit in your basement, right?
Yeah, when there's a tornado, I will always heed the warning. If there is a thunderstorm warning and I'm in a stadium, people are trying to stay in the stands in Morgantown. Nope, not me. I'm not staying in the stands. They're telling us to get out. I'm going to get out. I don't want to get hit with debris. I don't want to get struck by lightning. You never know. And that's how I'd go out. Craig Wolfley had 3 family members struck by lightning. Did you know that?
That's
so you got to be careful.
Insane. Insane.
Got to be careful.
Surprised that he wasn't one of them.
Question for you about Najee Harris.
Yes.
Will the Steelers, by the end of the year, regret not picking up his 5th-year option?
Well, I don't think they're going to regret not picking it up, but I think he's going to have one heck of a season. I think he's definitely a 1,000-yard running back. Maybe he'll probably get over more receptions than he did last year. He's not going to be that 70-80 reception guy that mm-hmm. he was, his rookie year. He's not going to be the 20 reception guy last year. But I think he's looked extremely good in practice.
He looks
quicker,
twitchier to me,
faster.
Yeah.
Let's see how that translates into the regular season. But I think he'll be a 10, 1,100-yard running back. No, they're not going to regret it because he's a guy that they were going to have to pay $7-8 million to. When you got a guy that is very similar right behind him that probably will get paid, I think he's a restricted next year, 3, 3.5. I mean, it's just business right there.
Do you think, what would Najee Harris have to do to get brought back? Or do you think it's done?
Nobody wants him. Or if he gets to that point where he has one of those seasons where it's not very good that anybody wants to bring him on and give him a raise, or and the Steelers would be like, okay, you can come back.
Oh, so you think it's more likely he's a Steeler if he performs, if he underperforms, than if he overperforms.
If he underperforms, they're not going to want him back.
Because I was
if he overperforms, he's going somewhere else.
Okay.
He has to be one of those in-betweeners where, you know, he's 20, what is he, 27, 28. Let's have that 1 year. You know, does he really want to go to Minnesota for 1 year and $2.5 million prove it deal? That type of situation, I could see him coming back on. But if he has a decent year, no, there's no. I mean, look at this free agency this past year. I mean, I think the first six people that signed in free agency were running backs.
It was kind of a bounce back year for running backs.
Like, they were getting paid between 6 and 7 and 10. So even look free agency wise. Those guys were getting paid, air quotes, but they still weren't getting paid nearly what he would have got guaranteed for a fifth-year option.
Which is why the Steelers, yeah. I think, were smart not to do it. I think if it were Colbert in the old regime, I think they would have definitely picked it up. I think they're a little bit more new school here.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who do you think makes that decision? They portray it as a group decision. But if Mike Tomlin wanted Najee Harris, I can't see Omar saying, nah, you know, it just doesn't make business sense. Okay, Omar, I just don't see that.
I wouldn't say he's fallen out of favor, but he was a captain. Now he's not a captain.
That's because you know what happened there is Tomlin tried to push him into that captaincy, right? He pushed him there hard that first year or the second year or whatever that year was, but that didn't tend to work out. Then they wanted to bring Kenny and give him that spot because he's the quarterback, and obviously that didn't work out, and I don't think you can go back to where you're at right now.
Do you think Russ Wilson was truthfully elected captain, or do you think that they rigged that thing?
I always think that it's just a Tomlin thing. I think they
vote, but then he tabulates how he wants it?
I was Pro Football Writers president for 4 years, and we used to vote for the Chief Award, and I would tally everybody's votes. Then I would choose who I wanted anyways.
What? You're kidding me.
To a degree.
How many times did it not line up with the way the vote went?
No.
Who did you screw, Kaboli?
I can't say that. One year, there was a little uprising if somebody wanted it. I'm like, over my dead body.
Really?
That's not happening.
You ruled with an iron fist.
Well, they
Mark,
didn't,
this
they
is
didn't
breaking
know.
News.
They didn't know.
Well, now they do.
Well, very similar to Mike Tomlin. Maybe
so,
they voted for him.
Hold up.
They're not comparing ballots. You know, the offensive lineman, who'd you vote for?
This is a hell of an admission by you. Does Dale Lawley know you did this? Does Jerry Dulac know you did this?
Well, probably. I don't know if they do. They might
you,
not. They
you
might know
fudged
now.
The Chief
Maybe
Award.
That's why I'm not the president anymore.
Maybe that's why you got fired.
Well, honestly, off the air, I'll tell you who it was, and you'll agree with me.
I probably will.
This person did not deserve it, but there was some kind of uprising. Let's give it to this guy. I'm like, that's not happening.
All right, when we come back, maybe I'll tell everybody what Mark tells me during the break. But Albert Breer wrote something that I think's of interest about the Steelers, and we'll get to it. Some breaking NFL news, Mr. Kaboli. Trent Williams signing an extension with the 49ers, ending his holdout.
As I normally say on Twitter, when there's a big signing, looks like the 49ers are going to go 20-0 this year now. They joined the 20-0 club. They might go 21-0. They're that good.
They are pretty good, though.
Wow.
They are really good, though.
Well, that is my pick to win it all, but I'm not going out on the edge here.
Who's your pick to win the AFC North?
Probably Baltimore. Didn't really give it much thought. It's not Cleveland.
I'm with you on that.
My Cleveland and Pirate takes are very similar. Show me first before I even think about it.
I mean, they did make the playoffs last year with Joe Flacco at the helm.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Then they got absolutely demolished in that playoff game.
I'm just worried about Cincinnati. I mean, there's issues with Chase.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line's gotten a little bit better. The defense is still a little bit suspect, so... I would say Baltimore right now. Good defense.
I like
good running game.
Yeah.
Good quarterback, receivers.
Hasn't stopped them before.
I mean, I like
until
their tight ends.
Stops
obviously,
inevitably.
Andrews coming back. I like likely.
I mean, they played for the AFC Championship last year. That game could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And I like their team the best. Like, if it were all things being equal, I would pick Baltimore. But the Steelers' schedule, the Ravens' schedule, the Browns' schedule. I know you do. I know you do. And a lot of times it changes.
Always changes.
But for the Steelers, I feel like they've gotten a lot of injury luck the last few years and played a lot of backup quarterbacks. And I feel like eventually that just evens out. Cincinnati's schedule, middle of the pack, is what I'm saying. And I happen to really like their football team, too.
You remember last year, we were like, wow, that final three-game stretch of the Steelers are going to be impossible, so they better win those ones right before that, you know, Arizona, New England. Well, it turns, just happens the other way around.
Yeah.
Lose those three, and then beat Baltimore, Seattle, and believe Cincinnati.
Cincinnati,
right?
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati a favorite on the road against the Steelers, sitting there at 8-6.
It's tough. I hate looking at schedules. I know what you have to look at is historically those teams down the stretch are good. They're division games, which regardless of if they're good or not, that's going to be a tough game. There's a bunch jammed in together. There's Wednesday's games or Sunday games, maybe a Monday game in there. That's what I'm more concerned about than actually who they're playing and if they're favored or not.
Yeah, Steelers went 5-1 against the AFC North last year. I bet good money that won't happen again. But, hey, you don't know. They're going to play close games. They're probably going to play 5 very close games. And Steelers have historically under Mike Tomlin in these last few years won these close games. All right, Albert Breer, who's now doing the Monday morning quarterback column every Monday, he reports that there was an internal push by some for the Steelers to name Fields the starting quarterback. You buying that, Mark?
I would love to know where the internal push came from.
Because it wasn't Tomlin.
And who, I mean, honestly, who in the world has the power to have any type of internal push?
If the internal push was Art Rooney II, then Justin Fields would be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and if it was, do you think Arthur Smith, who just got tired and said, hey, Mike, I know I've only been here 3 months, but I want Justin. No, you probably play it low key right now, right? And whatever you want, Mike, for right now. I'm not discounting he might have heard that, but I just don't. I mean, who? It can come from anybody. Maybe it was a scout internal push. I mean, that's very vague of what that is. And I just don't know. I mean, to me, I thought Russell Wilson is a perfect guy for the perfect time at the perfect opportunity right now. For this team, be honest with you, that he's play action guy. He's a veteran guy who Tomlin likes. He can throw the ball down the field, and they got some guys. And we can rip on Van Jefferson all you want.
And I will, and I have.
Just look at some of his highlights, man. When he was balling, he can get down the field pretty quick and get some deep balls, some chunk plays. Same with Calvin Austin. So it makes sense. So people tend to, I think, confused of what's happening this year, what might happen in the future. Just because Russell's starting this year, that doesn't mean jack next year.
I know. That's why I have such a tough problem with thinking about this season. That's how I started the show today. It was a lot of word vomit, Mark, but this is the most purgatory Steelers season that I can remember. Each of the last 2 years, you at least had a quarterback you're trying to figure out if he's the franchise guy. Thus, the season has meaning. I feel like this year they're basically playing to break that playoff win drought. But even if they do, it doesn't guarantee that either of the quarterbacks that might help them get there are even going to be on the roster next year, means that this year, more than any year that I can remember, Mark, is just a year in a vacuum. Like, it's this year and nothing else really matters, unless Justin Fields would take the ball and run with it. But I think if you predict that right now, you're going out on a limb.
I think they're okay with that. I mean, you look how one thing Omar has done in his 2+ years here is, And even before that, their structure and contracts, there's not a lot of things in stone for next year. So if they want to redo this whole thing next year, it might suck for a fan, but they have the opportunity to next year just to say, okay, this quarterback stinks. We're just going to do it all over again. Not even quarterback, other positions as well. So I don't think they're too worried. I think they're just going to keep throwing against the wall until something sticks. If it doesn't work this year and they got to get rid of all three of them next year and go a different route, whoever it might be free agent-wise, I'm not going to say Dak because that money's going to be ridiculous. I think they're willing to do that.
I think they're willing to do that too. I mean, they just did it with a first-round pick, so you'd absolutely be willing to do it with two guys that you're not tied down to. I'd be surprised if Justin Fields isn't around in some capacity next year, but they absolutely could get rid of both guys.
That's tough. That's tough with Justin because, I mean, he's getting to that age where you don't want to be a lifetime backup, and that's all you are right now, even though there are some success stories with Geno Smith and, I guess, Kirk Cousins to a degree. The clock is ticking, and if you don't have an opportunity here next year, I'm going to go find some place where I'm going to start next year, if it's wherever it is. I mean, if it's New York, you know, if it's anywhere, I'm going somewhere where I can start next year.
Well, and I do want to be clear, too. Like, I don't think the Steelers did the wrong thing this offseason by any stretch. It was the slim pickings out there. You couldn't get Baker because Baker had already signed before free agency opened up. I don't think they should have gotten Kirk Cousins because is he that much better? Is he better than Russell Wilson? Maybe. But he had a debilitating injury at the end of last year, and they're around the same age. So you get a similar player for pennies on the dollar. You weren't really that interested in Justin Fields until your quarterback went boo-boo face. So you get, I think, a good option there as a backup quarterback. I think they did the right thing, but it guarantees absolutely nothing for the future. As for this report from Breer that there was an internal push for Justin Fields, I don't think it was from the players. I don't think you had a bunch of vets pounding the table for Justin Fields. They may well like him, but they did just vote Russell Wilson the captain.
Plus, I mean, there's not a person I've talked to that doesn't just, like, adore him. Players love Russ. Other people think he potentially could be a phony. That's not saying the players do. Us in the media, fans, potentially, just how he carries himself. I mean, I've said this a number of times, I don't really care if he's phony or not or whatever, as long as you're able to win. And that's what the players are. I've never heard a player say anything. I know you're not going to hear people say, oh, hey, you know, Russ is this, Russ is that, but you don't hear anything negative even coming his way.
Even
they love
if,
him.
Even if he is, quote-unquote, phony, I'm not so sure that's the worst thing for a franchise quarterback to be, at least forward-facing, frontward-facing, outward-facing. There we go.
He's a positive phony. There's some negative phonies out there.
Yeah, as long as you're a guy that is going to get in front of a microphone and TV cameras and say the right things and not throw your teammates under the bus publicly, that goes a long way.
Yeah, when he was named starter last week, he talked for 12 minutes. When I got done and I looked at somebody and said, he did not say one word there that I could use. It was just like, then there was one time it was like, did he hear my question? Because he totally did not answer anything that I just asked him right now.
Yeah, he and Tomlin are good for that. Here's a theory. And I like this one from a texter at 412-928-9370. The Monday morning quarterback report could be the Steelers wanting that to get out there to appease Fields in a way. I could buy that. Like, hey, Justin, we still love you. I think that's part of the reason why Tomlin made it sound like it was more of a competition the whole way, is because they want Justin Fields to feel valued, wanted, and loved.
Yeah, because once again, next year it might come down to whoever says yes, mm-hmm. whoever wants the least money. So you probably should keep him happy as much as you can at this point.
Mark, we're going to have you around until 10 o'clock, so you're with us the rest of the show. But I do want to get to the game on Sunday with you coming up next. Couple questions. There's a game on Sunday. You going to Atlanta?
Yes. You know, I'm doing one of those red-eye backs, I believe.
Pat McAfee writing that check?
No.
Or reimbursing you
reimbursing
afterwards.
Reimbursing that check, right?
There you go. All right, we'll talk about the game a little bit. A couple of position questions I have for Mark. That's next. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli in with us until 10 o'clock today. Mark, Jaylen Warren is going to play on Sunday. Do we expect a normal workload for one Jaylen Warren?
Well, he looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, I know it was the first day, but he looked pretty back to normal as he can get. So, I would guess that he's going to have that normal workload. There's not going to be any restrictions put on him at all. So, my question is, how do they incorporate Cordero Patterson into this group, too? Because I think he's shown that he needs to be somehow into this group.
If they had Brandon Ayuk or a guy that I thought was a legitimate number two. If they had Deontay Johnson, I don't know that I'd be crying in my beer if we didn't see Cordero Patterson, but they don't have that.
I find it quite amusing that all of a sudden Deontay Johnson went to, he can't catch the ball, he runs backwards. Man, I wish we had Deontay Johnson.
Well, I have always thought that Deontay's talent is intriguing, and he's a good player. Yeah. But he also, I felt, left a lot on the table. and quit on the team. I can understand why they didn't want him around. That being said, as a football player, he is head and shoulders better than Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm comparing Deontay to the rest of the league. I'm comparing him to Van Jefferson and saying, if they had Deontay, you don't need to work Cordarrelle Patterson in there. But if I'm starting to tier out their weapons, Cordarrelle Patterson, you don't go very far before you say he probably needs to touch the ball.
You know, one thing to flip back on that, the Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson trade.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting Deontay, all of a sudden your offense is pretty dynamic now. You got that solid number two.
Mm-hmm.
But now where does that leave your cornerback position? Would you be more willing to have a number two like Deontay Johnson or a guy who is a ton of snaps, 6 years in the league, Deontay
Jackson? It was so early in the offseason that if you wanted to get another starting caliber outside corner, you could have gone and paid for one.
I don't know.
Especially now when you look at the cap space that they have. They could have addressed both needs still. And I think Dante Jackson was going to get cut too. You'll never know. Yeah. Maybe he wasn't. But a couple of beat writers at the time were writing that they thought that Dante Jackson wasn't going to wind up being a Panther anymore. Now, and you also would have to then go out and fight with other teams to get him. They streamlined the process, but I'm not convinced they couldn't have wound up with Jackson and Deontay, and if they had Deontay, I think they'd have Ayuk right now.
Yeah, the thing is, I think there was some miscalculation of, I mean, I think that's obvious that they thought they were going to be able to at least get a number two receiver. If it was maybe that, I don't know when the Ayuk thing came into play.
I think it was
in April. I don't know.
They would have signed Mike Williams, man. If Mike Williams would have, instead of going to the Jets on Tuesday, was going to Pittsburgh and the Jets on Thursday, I think he'd be a Steeler.
Yeah,
right
if
now.
If you want to complain and moan about Brandon Ayuk not signing here, I wouldn't complain about him not actually coming here more than him holding them hostage to a degree that not being able to fill that spot. Now you're probably saying, well, why didn't the GM realize that? You know, you have to shoot your shot at that point, right? If I have an opportunity to Brandon Ayuk, I'm holding off until the last minute. I just don't know.
You probably didn't think that the last minute really meant the last minute.
Well,
you probably didn't think this thing would go as long as it did, but once it does, now you're pot committed and there's nowhere else to turn. I know we've talked about, I know other shows on the station have talked about, I know fans on Twitter talk about, you could have had this guy who was cut, that guy who was cut. Okay, this guy or that guy, player X or Y, is not coming in and early making more of an impact than Van Jefferson, who knows the offense. Like, at that point, you're hoping that 3 or 4 weeks in, that guy can really help you.
Yeah, but what happens now if week three or week four, it's become very obvious to the Steelers that we need a number two? There's nothing against them going out and making a trade, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe a team that's a lower-level team that has a veteran guy and you want to get – I mean, there's nothing against that. I mean, you can trade – and I think when's the trade deadline? November 1st? That might be too late now if you're waiting to that length to be able to go find somebody. But there is a little slight opening where, hey, we can go and find somebody out there if we really need to. But I think they're going to give Van Jefferson and those guys every opportunity until they prove that they...
The deadline is what? It's November 5th.
They pushed it back.
So they pushed it back. You could see Denver or something being 1-7 or 2-6, and maybe at that point you're willing to move a Cortland Sutton something like that.
Yeah, but is it too late at that point? That's what you have to ask yourself.
It all depends on what the Steelers are, what their record is at the time. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're 6-2 or 5-3, you might be able to convince yourself, we don't need that guy. But I think you have to, independent of your record, think about how you're playing, and you have to project out if that level of play is going to be good enough to compete in the second half in that schedule, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I listened to Doug Whaley a couple days ago and him talking about Arthur Smith's offense and how you go, you know, the number one guy is the number one guy, then the tight end, then the outlet pass. It almost seems like he's convinced that you don't even need a number two at this point, right?
That's been a big talking point around Arthur Smith. I know that Mueller's talked about that a lot, but I think it all depends on roster construction. I mean, if you have Brandon Ayuk, you're probably throwing to him.
Yeah.
You're probably throwing to Pickens, and you're probably throwing to Ayuk, and then your tight end becomes your third option. I think he's malleable.
Yeah.
But I think it just depends on what you got.
My issue would be is maybe that number one option of Pickens is not an option because of what you have at 2 and 3. If Freiermuth's your second, and if the outlet pass of Warren or whoever, Cordero, is your number three, maybe that takes number one totally out of the game, which is not good. I think what you're going to see a lot of is the play action, deep shots, big chunks, run the ball, play defense. I think that's their thought, and they think that they have that roster construction to be able to be successful doing that.
You need your offensive line to play well, and that's where I wanted to go, and we'll do that next. Because I have a couple of theories, and then I have one area where I think I've been too hard on the Steelers that I have to walk back a little bit. So we'll do that coming up next. Mark Cabalian with us until 10 o'clock. Fam, weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Feels like fall out there, folks. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 75, low 50.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.